Welcome to the C3 Church Noosa podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message.
Hand clap this morning. God is good. Grab your seat. Why don't you come in close, sit next to somebody. We are going to have some fun around the Word this morning. Hey, Friday night was fun. Taking these kids down to youth. And like Melissa said, we're going to start hiring the hall here on a Friday night, bringing our kids along. And the cool thing is, it's not a babysitting service. It's a place where we can instill faith and life and vision and hope for the future in our kids. And like Melissa said, when that's the foundation of their world, when they ask Jesus Christ into their life and that's their firm foundation, despite some twists and turns that might occur in the journey ahead, they've got that to stand upon in life. I'm glad I met Christ at a youngish age and that I didn't have to walk through certain things because I had the Holy Spirit on the inside of me leading me and guiding me, helping me when I had to make decisions, strengthening me. It's awesome. Hey, I just spoke to Trent and Melissa before. They're from C3 Cronulla with James Murray, who happened to be the preacher on Friday night at this youth event. And they said, get ready. They said, get this in onto Facebook. Get this into the newspaper. Get this into surf clubs and surf shops, because you usually get 200 or so people in service, but you had 1,500 at that service. So people are interested. People want to hear it. So please, would you do me a favor? Take these. Take photos of it, put it up on Instagram, put it up on Facebook. Let's then share each other's posts. Let's talk to people about it and get people into the house of God. Amen? Sound all right? Fantastic. Hey, title of the message this morning is In the Middle. Everybody say In the Middle. Or you might even say Faith for the Middle. So it says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13, it tells us that each of us has been given a measure of faith. Each of us have faith on the inside of us. Our God is a God that brings faith and gives faith. So whether you realize it or not, whether you think it or not, you have faith on the inside of you. And the cool thing is, the word says, with the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to a mountain, be uprooted and cast into the sea, and it will be done. It will happen if you have faith. And it's not faith in self, it's faith in God. It's faith in a good Father. It's faith in a God that can and a God that will. The Bible says, with faith, nothing is impossible. So this morning, I want to stir us in our faith. My heart, my desire, the reason we would do church, that we would put the effort into setting up a hall and getting a message ready and putting on men's events and doing youth, and the reason we do is that you would leave changed, that you would come into the house of God and it would be a place of empowerment for your life, that you can go from here into the week ahead with vision and purpose and passion bubbling up on the inside of you. And I made a commitment at the beginning of the year. Everything I do, I'm going to do passionately this year. So when I preach, I'm going to be passionate. I'm probably going to spit and holler and cheer and whatever. But I want to do it passionately, because what I've noticed in life is the people that I'm attracted to are passionate. They're excited. They're high on life. They stir themselves up. And when others are going down, they just stay up. And they're like a cork that surfaces every time. You might hold them down for a little while. They might walk through some things, but they always surface. Okay, they're the type of people I'm attracted to in life, because they inspire me and I'm encouraged by them. And I see them walk through challenges, but they always come out the other side. And that's who we're called to be as Christians. That's who we're called to be as men and women of God that believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You're a conqueror. The Bible says you're more than an overcomer. And so the reason we do this is I want to inspire you and encourage you for anything that you face, any challenge that's ahead. I want to inspire you with faith for In the Middle. Amen? And here's the thing. Who knows that you don't need faith when you don't need faith? When everything's going good, we generally tend to forget about God, because everything's going good. When there's money in the bank, I don't worry about money, because there's money in the bank, and whatever happens, I worry about money when I don't have money. I only need faith when I need faith. But the funny thing is, when there is an issue, the first person we usually blame or we go to is God. Yeah? So we tend to forget about Him, but Proverbs says trust in Him every day, all day. Lean on Him, look to Him, wait for Him. Anyway, have you ever found yourself in the middle of something? The middle of a dream, middle of an argument, middle of an exam, the middle of a moment that you never wanted to end. You found yourself in the middle of something. Life is a journey. It's a long journey. And it's a journey of starts and beginnings, and it's a journey of ends, but there's this zone, this phase that we don't really want to acknowledge, because it's frustrating, and it's the in the middle. It's because I'm excited. When I begin a thing, I'm excited, and I'm I've got vision and I'm passionate. I'm starting a thing. I'm starting a new business. I'm building a surfboard. I'm planning a holiday. I'm excited. And then when I've had it, I'm relieved. It's awesome. So the start was excitement. The end was relief or enjoyment or whatever. But in the middle can be grueling. Because now that I've planned the holiday, I've got to pay for the holiday. Or now that I've committed to starting a business, now I've got to run the business. But it can be grueling and tiresome. So I don't necessarily need faith to begin it or faith to end it, but I need faith in the middle. Faith to walk through. Anybody relate? You're walking through it. You're in the middle of anything right now, and it's tough, and you're grinding, and you're trying to move forward, and you're getting pushed back, and there's circumstance, and there's storms and challenges. You need faith in the middle. You know, have you ever been in a line, like a long line? I hate lines. Oh, I hate lines. It's, you know where it says, you know, pray for patience? Patience is good for you. I'm like, God, I want patience and I want it now. It's like, you need patience when you need patience. But I'm talking like a line at a bank, at a airplane, you know, an airport or whatever. Like you're in a line. What I've noticed is there's always one person that doesn't move as the line's moving. You know, everyone, they take two steps, they take two steps, they take two steps, they take two. But this person doesn't take two steps. They're two steps back, and you're behind that person. I'm always behind that person, the person that doesn't move with the line. And you know, I was just in the Philippines, and I got to the airport 5 hours before my flight. And I got onto the plane with 5 minutes to go. The line was insane, but the person I'm standing by didn't move with the line. So everybody would move forward, and then people would jump in, because that person wasn't moving, and I'm like, I'm dying. I think one of the most frustrating things in life is knowing where you want to go to, but having a hindrance in front of you that is stopping or slowing your progress. And I need faith in the middle of a line. There's light at the end of the tunnel. You can see it. You can see, you know where God has called you to, but something's stopping you. Something's blocking your way. It's hindering you. We all find ourselves there in life. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that you're with us, you're for us, you never leave us nor forsake us. You're calling us forward in life. Lord, I thank you that life is a journey of starts and completions, but you're with us all the way through. Lord, I pray that faith would rise in this house for in the middle as we journey. That's where the real life is. That's where life is made up of. Lord, be with us. I thank you, Father. You're calling us heavenward. You're calling us upward. Your word says that the way of the righteous winds upward. I thank you for every life that sits before me today. You are calling them higher. You're calling them to a bigger place of living. You want to increase their capacity. You want to bless them. Be with them today in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Fantastic. Well, what I want to do in the few minutes we got together is just look at Matthew 14 and 22. It's a really cool piece of scripture, and it's Jesus with his disciples. And I just want to inspire us today to have faith for the middle whilst we find ourselves in a situation or circumstance. It says here, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he sent the multitudes away, what had happened is he had just fed miraculously, it says 5,000 men, women, and children. So there could have been up to 20,000 people that Jesus had just miraculously fed. So they're in this place, and Jesus has been teaching, and then he's doing miracles, and at the end of it, he sent the crowds away, but he sent his disciples to the other side. He said, let's go over to the other side. We're here now. This is the beginning of where we are, but we're going to go to another place. Well, let's go over to the other side. And it says that Jesus, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Here's a little side note. Jesus, the Messiah, held on to the habit of prayer. So Jesus, the Son of God, you know, part of the Godhead, third part of the Godhead, he went and prayed. When you're in the middle of a thing, pray. When you're facing challenges, pray. When you're at the beginning of a thing, pray. When you're at the end of a thing, pray. Never stop being a God seeker. Somebody that is God reliant and waits on him. I love the fact that he had just done miracles. So he knew who he was. The people knew who he was because they just experienced the supernatural. And it says that he went away and prayed. He refreshed himself. He sought God in life and came back to him. Because who knows that life is draining and life is hard. And, you know, and all that we do, there's effort that's required and there's energy that's required. And we're pouring out all the time. Jesus prayed. So when we say, hey, we're having a prayer meeting, if you'd like to come along, can I suggest you need to come along. You need to come and pray. You need to come and seek God. And that should be a habit in our world daily where we're God seekers, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. God's will is that you would seek him. He wants you to seek him so you'll find him, when you'll find that you'll get answers to the challenges that you're facing in life, to the issue, you'll get wisdom from God to make the decisions you need to do. You'll get creative ideas. I was saying last week that Daniel distinguished himself because there was an excellent spirit upon him. There was an excellent spirit upon him because Daniel was a prayer. Daniel would seek God three times. The reason Daniel was thrown into the lion's den was because he wouldn't stop seeking God. So a decree had been issued that if anybody worshipped any other god but Nebuchadnezzar for a month period, they'd be thrown into the lion's den. Daniel, it says, went home and threw open the windows. He didn't do it in secret. He said, I am who I am. I'm a man or woman of God. He threw open wide the windows, and he knelt in the window where people could see him doing what he always did. He prayed and sought God, and in seeking God, answers came, and enlightenment came, and wisdom came upon his life. So Jesus just fed thousands. He'd sent the disciples away. He went and prayed, and then it says, now when evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was in the middle of the sea. Everybody say, in the middle of the sea. Jesus was alone, but the boat that he had sent out was in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Tossed by the waves. So Jesus has sent the disciples out. He said, we are here, but I want you to go there. We're here right now, and we've done certain things, but I want you to go there. Have you ever felt God speak to you in life and call you to a place? Call you onto something? You are here. You're doing this. You're experiencing miracles. You're experiencing God and his goodness in you, and he's sending you over here. I have many times. We've come from Sydney to Noosa because God called us here. We've experienced some things in the middle of that journey. In the middle of the journey of leaving to coming, there was some storms. There were some contrary winds. There were some issues that we had to face. But I love this because the definition of contrary is opposite in nature, directional meaning. So Jesus has sent them somewhere, and now they're facing opposition. So it goes on to say, the sin is opposite, opposing, opposed, contradictory, clashing, conflicting, antithetical, incompatible, irreconcilable. Sometimes you walk through life going, I can't reconcile the fact that I feel like God called me to do this, but now I'm facing challenges. Now I'm facing giants. Now I'm facing storms. There's contrary winds coming against me. Anybody? How could this? It mustn't have been God. Have you ever found yourself in that place questioning whether it was actually the call of God for you to do a thing in the middle? Because if God called me, it must be perfect. It must be plain sailing. The path must be straight in front of me. Who knows this? The enemy is real, and he will come against you in life. When you step out to believe for healing, he will tell you every reason why you can't be healed. When you step out to start a business, he will tell you why it's going to fail, why you can't do it, why you're ill-equipped, why you can't. But God is, if he's called you to do it, there's nothing that can stop you doing it. There's nothing that can stop you getting through to the other side and achieving and living victorious in life. Amen? And like I said, the disciples were only doing what Jesus had called them to do. But then they found themselves in the middle of a situation that was beyond their control. You ever been there? I find myself there all the time. In the middle of that thing, it's okay to take your hands off the wheel and to let God drive your life. To let God lead you and guide you through the situations you find yourself in. And, it goes on to then say, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Hello? Mind blown. Jesus went to them in the fourth watch of the night walking on the sea. He didn't get in another boat. He walked on the sea. Don't ever tell me that the Bible's boring. You're boring. No, I'm just joking. I'm just kidding. The Bible is not boring. These are real stories of real events that took place. Jesus walked on the water. Our God is a supernatural God. Our God is a God that lives outside the bounds of time and space. He can do whatever. He can move in your world supernaturally and bring you to a place of deliverance if you'll allow him to. You're not really boring. It says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, is it a ghost? And they cried out in fear. Is it a ghost? Because they cried out in fear. They were freaking out. They'd just been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus, listening to him tell stories and tell parables and do miraculous signs and wonders, feeding up to 20,000. They've been with him, but they don't know who he is. They've been with him, but now they can't recognize it, even though he's walking on the... And is this a ghost? They'd never seen it before. He'd never done it before. So they should understand that this is Jesus walking towards them, just in his supernatural state. It says they're in fear. It says, but immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer, it is I, don't be afraid. Wouldn't you love to hear those words? Right in the middle of a storm, right in the middle of a challenge that you're facing, Don't fear. Be calm. It's me. I feel like that's the word God wants to speak to you this morning, is be calm. It's me. It's going to be okay. And, you know, just over many years and many storms, I've come to realize that Jesus will allow us to face storms in life, but he'll never leave us in a state of fear. He will allow you to be challenged. He'll be, because it will grow you. It will develop. The storms that you face are only there to make you stronger, not to break you. God's not into breaking, but he's into developing people and increasing capacity so that we can walk stronger and straighter in life, so that we can look life head on. And I love this because it says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. If it's you, I hope it's you because I'm about to step out. Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. I like Peter. I think we all need the spirit of Peter in us. He was a little impetuous. He was a little erratic, but he was passionate. And he goes, you know what, dude, I'm in. I am in. If you're walking on the water, I want to walk on the water. I'm sick of this boat anyway. This storm is ugly. You're walking straight through the middle. Nothing seems to be touching. I'm in. And I think that's the attitude we need to carry in. I'm in. Let's do it. Let's do this thing. I know the winds are contrary. I know people are against me. I know opinion is against me. I know that this isn't rational. Can I tell you, no miracle in your world, no supernatural intervention in you will be able to be rationalized by your mind. God will call you to do things and it'll be like, that is out there, that is weird. So is walking on water. You know, when Lazarus was dying, Mary and Martha, they sent message to Jesus. They were in the middle of a situation. They were in the middle of your friend. They were trying to compel Jesus to come quick. He just cruised. You know, it says it was the fourth watch of the night. Jesus knew where the disciples were and he didn't rush to them. He wasn't anxious. He wasn't nervous about this. He knew the end from the beginning. He knew they were getting to the other side because he told them to go to the other side. God is not nervous about where you are in life right now. He's not upset. He's not stewing over it. He's not running around like a headless chook. God knows where you're at, and he knows that he's going to get you to the other side. He just wants you to be calm in the middle of it, going, I'm not fearing. I'm going to faith. I've got faith for the middle because you're with me, God, and you put a word on the inside of me calling me forward. Amen? And so he's like, come on, let me come out. And so he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. Imagine that as a claim to faith. I've walked on water. I love that. Jesus said, come. So we went. I wonder how many times Jesus says to us, come, and we don't go. He says, come, and we stay. And it's like, you know, the miracle is in the stretch. The miracle is in the putting your foot on the water. The miracle is in stepping out. What is it that God is calling you to step out into in the middle? In the moment, right now. What is God calling? I want to encourage you today, have faith to step out into all that God has for you. Because I'm telling you, on the other side of that step, on the other side of that stretch, on the other side of you activating faith in your life is God. And he's got answers and God provision for your world. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. He began to walk on water. Nobody else had ever done this before bar Jesus. He's walking on water, and then he looks to his circumstance. He took his eyes off Jesus, and he started to look to the storm. He was in the middle of a storm and freaking out. So these are fishermen that had done this all of their life. They knew the weather patterns. They knew the conditions. They knew how to get through the storm, but they were freaking out. It must have been a pretty big storm. So they're in the middle of the storm, and Jesus comes. So he says, dude, I don't want to be in this storm anymore. I want to get out of the storm. I want to walk with you. And then whilst he's walking with him, he takes his eyes off him and looks back to the storm. How often do we do that in life? Where God calls us into a thing, and then he comes into the middle of a situation, and we find some level of relief and comfort. And then we take our eyes off that, and we, you know, when everything's going good, everything's going good. So when Jesus comes, I don't need faith when I don't need faith. We take our eyes off Jesus, and then we realize again, here's the storm. And then I begin to sink. Can I tell you, when we take our eyes off Jesus emotionally and spiritually, we get deflated and our faith ability diminishes. I want to encourage you here today, look to Jesus. That's what it says in Hebrews. Cast off everything else and look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is where he said he would be. And he will take you where he says he will take you. Amen. It goes on to say, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And when they got into the boat, faith in the middle helps us realize that the storms of life are subject to the authority of Jesus and not the other way around. I'll say that again. Faith in the middle. When we have faith in the middle, even though it might be small, faith in the middle helps us realize that the storms of life are subject to the authority of Jesus and not the other way around. Jesus isn't subject to your circumstance. Jesus isn't subject to the challenge you face or the threat of the enemy or the lie of somebody. The challenge that you face is subject to the authority of Jesus Christ. It says in Corinthians, it says, because he was obedient even unto death, God raised him up, gave him a name which was above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. He's the Lord of everything. The Bible describes him as the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one that spoke and created. God is the ultimate authority and power in life. And he says to you, I am calling you into a life. You know, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. I want to stir some faith this morning that you are going to get through the challenge you're facing, that you're going to get to the other side, that you're going to realize the dream, you're going to walk into the desires that you have. Amen? Come on, help me out. So Jesus has said to him, let's go to the other side. He's always calling us to journey with him. Don't stop in life. Don't stop moving forward. Don't stop dreaming. Don't stop playing. Don't stop moving. Do something. You know, stir your faith. That's what Jude says. Stir yourself in your most holy. Do something every day that freaks you out, that takes faith to do. Do something that is an act of faith every day that acknowledges God in your world. Amen? And can I just suggest that as believers, we need to learn to get happy in the middle of life, walking by faith and not by sight. So often we walk around and we mope around because I'm in the middle of a storm. I'm in the middle of a challenge. See it as God calling you forward. See it as God complimenting you. You're big enough for this. This challenge isn't going to take you out. You're facing right now what you are going to overcome, and it's good for you. We got to get happy in the middle. Don't let your circumstance dictate your emotional state. Every day, get up and go, you know what? Today's a good day. I got food in my belly. I got air in my lungs. I got a roof over my head. I'm alive. It's a good day. And I may not have what I want, but you know what? I'm glad I don't have, you know, what I used to have. And I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. I'm moving forward. It's a good day. Who can I help today? Who can I be a blessing with? Who can I shine the light of Christ to? Every day is a good day. And we just got to learn to get happy in the middle, living by faith and not by sight. You know, what does it say in Hebrews 11? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So what I can't see is God moving and operating on my behalf behind my back. And God does far more behind our backs than we can see. And he does far more in our future than we know. And he's moving on our behalf to lead us into victory. You know, Jesus said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? If you're going to doubt anything, doubt your doubts. Doubt the lies of the enemy. Doubt fear. Doubt anxiety. Doubt stress and pressure. Don't doubt God. Don't doubt. If he called you, he is faithful. It says in the word that he is not man that he should lie. God is not a man that he should lie. If he said a thing to you, it will come to pass. The word says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's eternal. He's faithful. He doesn't change. You know, and I'm convinced that real living is in the middle. Real living is in the middle. It's where I work out some stuff. It's where I exercise spiritual authority. It's where I don't let my emotions take control of me, but I can take control of my emotions. And I get stronger and I get bigger. The things that we face today are far bigger than the things I used to face as a 20-year-old. But then they seemed as big as the things that I face today. But I overcame then and I got bigger. And then I overcame again at 25 and I got bigger. At 30, I overcame. I got bigger. But now I face bigger challenges. They don't take me out because I let myself be strengthened and grown in God. You know, and I was thinking, Lozzie, you might come with the team. Emotion begins a thing. We're excited. We get excited. We have a go. Relief experiences the end of the thing. But real life, real living is found in the middle. I realize who I am in the middle. I realize what I've got in the middle. I realize that I'm stronger than I thought I was in the middle. When I don't give up and I keep putting one foot in front of the other, I realize that who I am and who he is, and that what he promised, he is faithful to produce. Amen. God is never going to leave you flailing around, struggling through life. If you look to him, if you focus on him, if you press into him, he will always journey with you. You'll always find him. It might be dark. It might be, the storm might be boisterous. There might be contrary winds, but you will always see Jesus walking along calmly in the middle of your situation and circumstance, because he will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, Psalm 56 says this, starting in verse 12, I will fulfill my vows to you, O God, and will offer a sacrifice of thanks for your help, for you have rescued me from death. You have kept my feet from slipping, so now I can walk in the presence of God in your life-giving life. I will praise you, God. Can I encourage you, praise God? You know, it says in Ephesians 3, verse 20, it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or imagine, to him be the glory. I am convinced that the power of God active in our lives is proportional to his praise on our lips. When we praise him despite, when we praise him because, when we praise him and we just worship God, that it's like, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, all glory to him. All glory to God. I want to encourage you every day of your life, glorify God. Do it when you're scared. Do it when you're fearful. Do it when you're timid. Do it in the middle of the storm. Praise him, worship him, and let him lead you. I remember being asked to play football as a young guy. I'd always played rep, tennis, and basketball. I surfed a whole lot, but I was excited because I'd been asked to play football. And I was excited. They used to call me Sticks of Fury. They're skinny, but they're fast. Okay, so they didn't put me in the forwards, they put me in the as outside center. And I was excited. I was pumped. I was playing for the Avalon Bulldogs. I got my jersey, I got my outfit, I bought some boots. And I was excited until I actually had to play. And then I was fearful. And then they said, all right, boys, get out there, run onto the field. And I ran onto the field for the first time. And then Sticks of Fury were trembling mess. And I'm thinking in my head, just sub off. Tell the coach you don't feel well. I'll put somebody else in it. But thankfully, the bell went. The whistle went. And they kicked off. And who did the ball come to straight away? First game, to me. And in the air, I'm thinking, don't drop it, don't drop it. I caught the ball. And then I thought, there's one of two things. I can run that way or I can run that way. I know I'm meant to run that way, but I feel like running that way. And the funny thing was, I caught the ball, and as I started running forward, every step I took, the feelings of fear and insecurity and freaking out, this Goliaths are about to kill me, I started getting confident. And I started feeling like, I know what to do. I've done it in training. I've done it in planning. I've done it in strength training. I know what, so I'm running and running and running. And then two Goliaths did kill me, but they didn't really kill me. They just took me out. But then I jumped and thought, I thought I was going to die. I thought they were going to kill me. I thought this was the end, but I just jumped back up and got back into line again. The devil will come at us and present as, I'm taking you out. I'm taking you down. But when I just realized, let's do that again. That was awesome. And I faced the challenge head on. And I used to love taking the ball and hitting it up the hardest, because I couldn't do much else, but that's what I'd do. When somebody would come and I'd tackle them, it was like kind of like a bear hug. You know how guys tackle around the legs? But I was a lot smaller, so I would just jump on them like that. I figured if they can carry me over the line, they deserve the try. Anyway, don't give up. Face fear head on. Run towards the enemy and watch what God will do for you. You might get taken out a few times. You might get taken down, but God is with you. So you'll always bounce back up again and to have another go. It says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, it says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you, the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given you a spirit of fear. If there's fear in your world, it's not from God. Fear doesn't come from God. God doesn't give fear. God doesn't send fear. And the gift of God is this, but he has given you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Of power, love, and a sound. You carry that on the inside. You are powerful. You are a powerful being. You can overcome. You can move through. You can get beyond, because the spirit that you carry that is on the inside of you is powerful. I love that. I want you to see yourself this way. I am powerful in God. When I am clothed in Christ, when I am in him, I am powerful. Nothing can stop me. Nothing can take me out. Nothing will break me. I'm gonna be that cork that pops and bobs to the top every time. I can love, not because others love me. I can love despite their hate. I can love despite being hurt. I can love despite dysfunction, because that's who I am. I'm not subject to circumstance. I'm not subject to other people's way of treating me. I love because I reflect Christ in the earth. And I got a sound mind. I can comprehend. I can make wise decisions in Jesus' name. I want to just finish with this morning. The question is this. Jesus comes to the disciples. He says, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid to step out? Why are you afraid to go where I've called you to, or I've sent you to? don't be afraid. I feel like the word that God put on my heart for you this morning is, why are you afraid? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of life. Don't be afraid of the future. Don't be afraid of your circumstance. Look to Jesus. Seek him and you will find him, and life will work out just fine. Amen. Let me finish with this scripture. Ephesians 6 verse 10. Why don't you close your eyes as I just pray this over you and declare it this morning. It says, our final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. We're not fighting flesh and blood as enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. God wants to show himself strong and powerful on your behalf this week. God wants to go before you. He wants to take you through things that you think are going to take you out. I want to encourage you this week, look unto Jesus. Look him in the eye. Look him in the face. Rely on him and watch what he will do. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it brings hope and life. And in the middle of challenges, in the middle of storms, Lord, that you are always with us. I pray today, Lord God, that faith would rise in every heart in this room. That, Lord, you would be with them. That you would show them, Father, what you intend doing in their world. I thank you as an army, we would rise. We would have eyes to see where you are calling us to. That we're here to be a light, shining bright in our community. That, God, there's other souls waiting on the other side of faith. That if we go to fear, then we regress, that we'll never be able to do anything for you. But, God, in faith, all things are possible. Lord, I pray that we would rise in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody said, come on, why don't we stand to our feet? Let's sing a song before we finish this morning.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church Noosa podcast. Visit us online at c3noosa.org.